Welcome to Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Seda, and my goal is to showcase multiple possible experiences of self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. You can support the show financially at patreon.com/foliopod or join as a free member to get access to the bonus podcast feed. If you're hearing this the day it drops, I'm at Breakout Con in Toronto, and it's my birthday this weekend. As a gift to me, remember that communal spaces and events are a particularly great place to wear a high-quality, well-fitting respirator mask, the easiest way to make sure you're just bringing home fond memories and cool stuff, not con crud and worse. This is episode 3 of our Games of Imminence, a game on a colony ship 1,000 years in the future, about exploring our individual and collective relationships with Earth, each other, ourselves, and the greater universe by Marcus Hose. With me again are Jam Edwards, ceding their plug time to the concept of touching a physical object during trying times, and Garbage Face, aka Gnostic Front, aka Karl Orzechowski, bowing out to give the floor to the concept of supporting DIY music, supporting DIY spaces, and doing what you can to look out for each other. Before we get into this episode, I want to note that Jam does one of my favorite randomization or generation techniques that has popped up on the show so far, or possibly just generally of all time. You'll know it when you hear it. Involves another game. In order to get to that, let's see how our passengers' time in space is going as we near the halfway point of their trips.
Let's do day 4.
It's day 4.
It is day 4 in the morning. I rolled a 9. You recognize a childhood friend from across the room. Where are you when you see them? Do you catch up? Do you see them again afterward? Ooh. Yeah, so this is somebody who I haven't had contact with in a very long time. I'm just looking through the list of locations. I think I'm gonna roll a couple die just to see if any of them are particularly interesting to me, if they like give me an idea of where we met that maybe I wouldn't have had a reason to come up with. 13 is the oddity block. Oh god, maybe I'll stop there. That's fun. So the oddity block is the birthplace of all things uncanny on the ship. Conveniently, anything that would pose a threat dissipates into thin air before it can cause any harm. Incidentally, the backup engine, a black hole drive, is also stored here, but it's usually powered down. Usually. And it would make total sense if, like, this childhood friend were an illusion or some sort of trick by this surreal space magic place, right? And I think that's my first assumption. Like, I've heard stories of the oddity block, which I think I'm just passing through. Oh, it's on, I'm gonna say that I'm going like on the way to the farm. I get up in the morning and I have an open invitation to go check out the irrigation system that they're working on. And I'm like, hell yeah, I would love to see your irrigation system. And I've never been in that direction of the ship. And so I pass through the oddity block for the first time. And there are some warning signs about like being careful about believing what you see and that kind of thing. And I see somebody who I haven't spoken to in like 25 years across the way. And I'm like, oh, that's a weird pull. I was friends with this person, but why is she being brought to me now? What is the universe doing? What's up, black hole? Is it on? Looking for like the signs of like, this light will be on if the black hole drive is powered up, in which case, get out of here. unless you're an expert. Blah, blah, blah. And she looks up and makes eye contact with me and her eyes go wide for a second. And I think she shines like, she has a tiny little keychain flashlight that is like a black light. It's not literally a black light, but that is certainly what the props department would make it out of, probably just with a little filter over the lens so that it comes out a slightly different color. She points it at me. And in some way, that is like a detector of like, I think probably anything that sort of comes through the weirdness has like a distinctive, it has a residue on it that would light up when you shone this light at it, but I don't light up. And she goes, holy shit, forum urgency, what the fuck are you doing here? And she runs over and we hug and I laugh. I'm still not totally sure that she's real, but I'm beginning to suspect that she is. And I laugh and I guess I have the same question for you. I'm headed to Mars. And she's like, oh, you're part of the exchange group, huh? Oh, That's awesome. I'm full time. And she's like, I have to do some stuff, but like, what are you up to? Can you come back later? And I say, yeah. And I go and I see the farm and I come back and then we catch up. And it turns out that she like became an astrophysicist and studied black holes and is like a brilliant scientist in the nature of black hole propulsion or something like that. Like she works in this area, but that she was really on the upwards trajectory in academia and realized that like she hated it and she wanted to do something much more practical with her studies. And so she ended up, it's like halfway through her thesis defense, she was like, I hate this. And I think that I like the idea that they still gave her, like her work was so good that she is a doctor. She got her doctorate, but she kind of shouldn't have because she just bailed. She was like, I'm sick of this. What, I'm going to finish this and then go into more school and just do this forever and just read books all my life? Nope. I hate this. And she ended up here through a series of like, I think that she's very honest that it would just be too complicated to explain in one sitting the series of events that led her here. But that, yeah, she is an engineer, a chaos engineer of some kind. And that she doesn't really get out of this sector a lot. I think she's kind of a weirdo, you know? She tends to really keep to herself. But she says that she's so happy to see me and that at any point over the next few days, she would love if I came and visited and I catch her up a little bit on my life and that kind of thing. And she has to, and then she's like, yeah, I got to get back to work, but thank you. And let's see each other again. And it's like, hell yeah.
Day 4, 18. The VR Arboretum is hosting your favorite natural landscape. Do you go where on earth is the landscape? How long do you stay and what do you see? Ooh. Yeah, where on earth is the landscape? Yeah, I do think Hill had some fun with the city folks, is maybe wanting to do some more nature stuff today. I think that Hill goes to Ireland, and in particular, the Aran Islands, which I should say I've not been to. I did go to Ireland last year, so it is top of mind. But I think Hill goes to the Aran Islands and is looking for, I mean, I'll look things up. Yeah, like is looking for weird rock formations, which are plentiful in Ireland. maybe plentiful is the wrong word, but yes, is like specifically thinking about other places they can go for ideas, is still feeling like very like reflective and wants to do like a little bit more work. They bring their sketchbook with them, and so they are looking for weird rock formations and things. They're visiting the wormhole in the Aran Islands, which is just like this natural weird hole, which maybe they also haven't visited in real life. Maybe they were a little too scared, because it is like, it's a big fuck off hole in a very sort of wet, windy place. So yeah, I think they bring their sketchbook with them and they're looking at that. They're looking at, they're going to the Giant's Causeway in North Ireland. They're looking at limestone. They're looking at cliffs and weird natural places and making lots of little sketches and maybe reach a point where they're not like doing ideas for puppets anymore. They're just like sketching a lot of shapes into their notebook.
I hear someone whistling one of my favorite songs from afar. What song is it? Do I seek the whistler out? Well, no surprise. So what it is I wake up to the sound of someone whistling one of the best known Rationale songs, which is Spitfire Chronicles : Speed of Sound. And as I'm waking up, it's just really, it's a nice melody to hear. I have no musical ability, so I can't imitate it, but, it's really nice to hear such a familiar sound. It's too early in the morning for me to seek them out. I'm busy doing my stretches because let me tell you, if I don't do my stretches, I am useless.
My afternoon roll is a 4. One of your favorite fruiting plants is in bloom in the garden, and the volunteer attendants are giving away samples. What plant is it? What plant is it? What fruit does it bear? Huh. Looking at the garden/seed vault, a complete library of Earth's various flora is safely stored in the massive vaults surrounding the ship's botanical garden. Each area is climate controlled for its inhabited plants. Plants cycle quarterly. I think this is a plant that was considered extinct. There were stories of past generations of humans eating this type of fruit, but various ecological disasters and the destructive forces of colonialism and capitalism and etc. were thought to have destroyed it. And then, like, a single sample was found mummified, maybe in like a swamp, maybe in amber, something. I'm not 100% sure, but it was very carefully and lovingly brought back into existence. And I think, to me, like, this is something that happened while I was in school, and it was like such a huge, like, beautiful victory for the restoration of the world that it and me and all of my fellow plant dork students, like, celebrated hugely, like, the successful return of this type of I think I like the idea that it's a vine, and it grows some sort of like berry in these small clusters. And part of the reason I like that is I like the idea that there was just a live stream constantly watching this vine slowly creep up the fence that it was planted against. And then the live stream got bigger as they learned how to grow like large fields of it and all that kind of thing. And it's just this lovely, warm feeling for me of like, oh yeah, good. You're preserving that. I'm glad. And I think that a little detail that's really delightful to me is like, I finally got a chance to try these berries at one point, and I hated them. Not hated, but didn't like. Like, they are pretty sour, and I just have more of a sweet tooth. So it's the kind of thing where I might enjoy a pie that was made with them, but I really generally am not, after spending so long celebrating the existence of this plant, it was like a very weird moment for me to try it and be like, bleh. But for old time's sake, I try it straight off the vine anyway. And as the attendants are sort of picking, there's a batch of it that is clearly marked to like be delivered to the kitchen. And I say, oh, can I just bring that for you? I don't mind heading in that direction. And they're like, yeah. And I bring it to the kitchen and give it to whoever is accepting deliveries there, and basically say like, hey, any chance that you're going to make some of these into something? And they like look me deadpan in the eye and be like, edible? Yep, you bet. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Okay, here you go. Yeah.
Several isolation suites are open. Feel free to use one. I go into one of the isolation suites and I put on nothing. I go into sensory deprivation mode and I cut out everything. It's just me in here in the sensory deprivation suite. They've engaged the noise canceling, so not even the sound of the engines is on. What a blessing.
That's an 11. There's a number of former professional kitchen staff among the passengers, and they're taking orders for lunch. Order anything you'd like. Yeah, of course there's professional kitchen staff. We've got all of the arts covered, as I've mentioned. I think also, I've been trying not to do too much, like, thinking about this world outside of playing the game and sitting down to record, because thinking about and fleshing about out the world seems to be a lot of the game. And so I don't want to do a lot of that off mic. But I did have the thought, I have people from all different schools of the arts. We probably have people from all different fields of sciences too. We probably have just a really diverse array of people with different specialties beyond what we traditionally conceive of as the arts. You know, we have people from all walks of life. So of course we have some chefs. What does Hill order for lunch? I think I don't wanna, I think Hill is in a mood where they don't wanna be a bother. I think they're, you know, still feeling a little bit isolated and withdrawn and don't want to ask for something very particular that would require some ingredients to be dug out, or you know, they don't want to do a lobster mac and cheese or something that it's we've got to figure out if we have lobster or can create it artificially. Even if that is the conceit of oh yeah, we can generate anything artificially, don't worry about it, I think Hill is still I'm going to do something normal. I'm going to do something not too complicated. Yeah. And I think they're going to go pizza. I think a professional chef has said, I can cook anything you'd like, anything at all. And they have just said a good pizza, a really good pizza. because it still feels like a little treat, but is also I'm sure you already have these ingredients for somebody else. So yeah, pizza is the answer. Let's go ahead and roll evening for day 4.
The evening traffic simulator is running at the racetrack. Traffic is bumper to bumper, but you can leave whenever you like. Back home on Earth before cars were illegal, I used to have a Ford Mustang. It was a 2100 Ford Mustang, and it was in surprisingly good shape for being close to 1,000 years old. Being in a simulated Mustang is certainly not the same, but some of the things that they've been able to replicate, specifically the smell, there's a kind of acidic, vaguely tobacco-esque smell to the Mustang that is very particular to the way that the leather in the seats and the way that the filling in the upholstery would break down over time. Even sitting in traffic and not moving, being in this old Ford Mustang really brings me back. I had my first kiss in that Ford Mustang. Do you remember your first kiss?
16.
That's a 15.
The Choral Karaoke Club is setting up in the theater block, and they seem to be devoting the night to one musical act.
One of your favorite musical acts. The Choral Karaoke Club. There's so many clubs.
Who is the artist and band?
Who is the artist slash band?
Does anyone attend?
Do you attend? Do you sing along? Oh boy.
Does anyone sing along?
I'm not gonna pick a contemporary musical act. I don't think it is a 21st century act that Hill has connected with. But I do think it is a band. It is a band that is partially influenced by rock and punk, and partially by jazz. What I'm imagining is a band that has all of the same instruments as a ska band, but sounds very different. is a much more mellow style of music that occasionally builds into something more energetic and experimental. Maybe that's just post-rock. I don't know. I don't know how to come up with new genres. Do I dare name the band? You know what? I've listened to this show. I know people use name generators. I can do it too. I'm going to try band name generator, even if it's a bad idea. Some of these are bad. This is not a good generator. It's a bad generator. Oh, no. Forget this one. Guys, don't use band generators. I'm going to use another tried and true method of coming up with a name for a thing, which is to grab the book closest to me and looking for a two-word phrase to use. Yeah. Yeah, the name of the band is Resident of Halifax. Does he'll attend? I think he'll does attend briefly. I think they do want to go and see. But it is karaoke, choral karaoke. So everyone's doing karaoke. So it's a sing-along. Yeah, I think they, it's not, the way I describe this band makes me feel like it's not particularly lyrics heavy. Which is a weird pick for the karaoke club. But yeah, so maybe Hill goes and is not really digging it, because they're choosing like this band's tracks that have more lyrical content, and like maybe even like editing out parts of the songs to get into like a long sort of noodly, more instrumental section, to focus on the lyrical parts. And that's not what Hill was really hoping for. So I think they go and end up leaving a little bit early. Boy, you know, the first day ended up so nice. And now we're, I mean, you know, understandably having a weird week in space.
VR equipped stages and seating that shifts and combines to suit the need of each performance. And there's soundproof from the outside. That's great. I mean, I certainly don't attend. I think I still don't really understand music. I certainly am more interested now that I have seen an orchestra perform, and I consider it, but I think that I choose instead to devote myself to my readings. I imagine that my new friends have been giving me a bunch of like reports that I never had access to or never had reason to look at, that have been generated on the ship about spacefaring agriculture and that kind of thing. So I'm doing a lot of that reading. But I am wondering, devoted to one musical act, who is the artist or band? I think it's not this, but it's the equivalent of a like My Chemical Romance, you know, but for 1,000 years from now. And so I like the idea that a lot of people do attend, that it's essentially an emo night as exists now. And so, yeah, people have a great time. And I'm not there. I'm having my own fun elsewhere. I think I didn't really know. Oh, I bet. I like the idea that my friend, the chaos doctor, who works in the engine room, goes. Because I like that. The idea of her being that type of quirky is really fun. So, like, she, like, stops by my bunk, dressed, like, retro. You know, the equivalent of, like, putting pencil eyeliner on and brushing her hair a little more over her face. And is like, hey, I totally forgot. I'm going to the choral karaoke club thing tonight. You want to come with? They're doing a future MCR band name. And I laugh and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how much you used to love them. And she's like, hey, I still love them. And cracks a huge smile and laughs. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna spend the night in. And she's like, okay, cool. Well, have fun, because I know I will. And flounces off to go to emo night.
So let's see what happens in the dead of night. That's a 14. Oh, the occultists club is meeting in the garden to collect spell components before going to the arboretum to dance around a pyre in a simulated forest. They welcome newcomers. Do you join at any point? What spells do you craft? Who do you dance for? Oh, who do you dance for? Oh my God. Okay. Yep. I think I'm going. I think Hill has been in a funk. I keep being tempted to say the character's name to ground myself and in theory, the listener, but, I'm going. I think every attempt that I, as Hill, have made to do things that feel familiar and comforting have been a bummer. And I think I, as Hill, get invited, and I think I feel that sort of spark that I did on that first night in the garden And, you know, I think maybe I'm already headed towards the garden after the karaoke experience, which was not great. I think I'm already headed towards the garden to go back to like my little comfort zone. But even that is like going back there the previous night didn't feel as good. I'm thinking about that as I'm headed there, that like, yeah, it was really like that sort of change and risk and things getting weird and different that was exciting and made me feel good about being here and trying to do things that are familiar and comforting has been not serving me well. And so as I'm approaching the garden, I can see this group of occultists who are they're collecting spell components and somebody invites me to join them. And like immediately Hill is like, yes, Hill is like, this is the thing that I need. And so I'm going to collect spell components. I think they maybe have specific things that they're collecting. I think Hill is collecting the things that they had sketched before. And it maybe like didn't occur to them that they could do that. And I wonder even if they're allowed to do that. I wonder if the occultist club is like slightly breaking a rule here by picking things from the garden and mass this way. Yeah, I don't know. That is a little bit fun to me if Hill is also like engaging in like a little bit of rule breaking. And these are plants that like are not gonna regrow in time for the meetup with our new extraterrestrial friends. But they're also plants that are aesthetic and not, you know, part of the ship's functioning. And so we're breaking a little bit of rules by taking some samples. And yeah, Hill is going to take some of the plants that they had previously sketched, and they're going to the arboretum to a simulated forest to dance around a pyre. Oh boy. What spells do I craft? Who do I dance for? I think that shifts throughout the night. I think Hill is definitely like trying to give themselves over to this, trying to spark that excitement again and embrace this, even though they are like very much, I think, not a big woo-woo person on Earth. I don't know if we're still using that terminology in the year 3020, but yeah, I think they are trying to embrace this and not to overthink it or think too hard about it. So I think the spell that they're trying to craft is really just like summoning them, their self, like trying to let go of their familiar, comfortable sense of self and summon a version of themselves that's here in space and discover who that is. And so in part, I'm dancing for myself. I'm also, I think, at certain times throughout the night, dancing for like the entity that's in mind as I'm dancing is like a puppet and like a big person-sized puppet that I had made once. The one that made me want to do this for the rest of my life. And I think that puppet was like somewhat alien in appearance. And so there is this like sort of whimsically irreverent appeal of that, of dancing for an entity that I created, but also looks like this powerful being that doesn't actually exist. And then I think I also end up dancing for that vision that I saw on the first night of that silhouette, that empty person-shaped space that for a moment I thought was an alien. And I think trying to dance for the new people that I'm going to meet, but like my mind keeps coming back to that, even though I know that it wasn't really, really a sentient entity. My mind keeps coming back and dancing to that idea, to that connection that I felt, and just really living in the meaningfulness of that moment and that feeling that I had in that moment again. Yeah, and I don't think Hill goes to bed. I think they stay out as late as anyone else in, you know, as long as there's other folks still out dancing, they're still out, which is also very uncharacteristic of them.
It's the dead of night. It's neon night at the gymnasium block. Several sports and activities are made over in a dark color palette with fluorescent neon lights. Do you go? You know, I do go this time because it's been a few days and I haven't played Galactic Pickleball in a while and I'm really excited to get down to it again. This time though, what I'm really excited about is one of my favorite things about the neon nights is, Galactic Pickleball is already one of those games where people really have a good time and smile a lot. And, in this case, it's even more fun because you get to see their little chiclet teeth lighting up in the neon every time they score a goal, every time they get excited and their little chiclet teeth just pop right out.
Let's roll a detonate. 5. No way. Back at the Pan Civic Simulator. This one is not... Oh, yes. Okay, I was reading from the... Oh, I might have read from the... There are tables for a one-player game and tables for a multiplayer game. I don't think they're very different. I think that they just address the group versus just an individual. And I might have... I did read. Yeah, so it's basically just because... For the single person game, it asks, like, do you attend? Do you sing along? And then for the group one, it asks, does anyone attend? Does anyone sing along? So similar thing, not a huge deal. And the reason I noticed is that in the multiplayer mode, it just says a major metropolitan center is being rendered. But in the single one, it specifically says your favorite. And anyway, for the third time, the 4 nights that I've been awake, 3 of them, including tonight, have had my favorite metropolitan center, which I did live in. Will I go explore the empty simulated city? Will you be alone? I like the idea that I've struck up a friendship, like enough of a friendship with a couple of the people who joined me for dinner the other day that I like invite them to come on a walk with me. It's the kind of thing where like I'm telling a story about when I grew something on a windowsill, you know, in my college dorm room or something. We're like just sharing stories of like stupid experiments we did in school or early in our career and stuff. And I talk about how I accidentally reintroduced like a formerly native wildflower to an area. Like it had been decimated and then we were working slowly on like the whole area had just been destroyed in like industrialism, and we, I think, partially probably inspired by the success of that one vine plant being brought back, we were very focused on trying to make sure that these areas were growing plants that originated there and that fit their climates. And I tell this story about how I received a non-official academic chiding of some kind because I was nursing this wildflower as part of my project, and I like put it in my window and I opened the window and I turned on like a fan in the room and it blew a bunch of seeds out into the world kind of before we'd done any of the like detoxifying of the ground and all that kind of thing. It just was a little ahead of schedule, and luckily it worked. There was no major emergency and stuff started to sort of pathetically grow and then it spread and it was actually totally fine. But I did get in a little trouble for my carelessness, and I talk about the fact that like it was so funny because then every single time I walked by, like those plants just always grew more heavily in that neighborhood from then on. And whatever, one thing leads to another and I realize that I can show them. And so we go on this walk, we just go on this little walk and I show them the neighborhood that I accidentally planted a bunch of these flowers in. And I think we just kind of sit around and yeah, continue to exchange a couple of those stories. And it's just like a nice, it's just nice to be able to connect with people in that way. And I do think some of them are, as the Chaos Doctor said, full-timers, like they live on this ship. But I like the idea that a couple of them are going to be coming with me. Like I'm forming connections with people who I will be in community with. And also maybe one of them is a full-timer who is like, maybe I'll come with you for a cycle. Like this ship does this orbit, right? Like I established earlier. And so they'll come back. They'll be back to Mars in a couple years. So maybe I'll just come spend a couple years with you because this seems like an exciting new project and they're thinking about it. And that would be nice. It would be nice to have people when I land there.
And that's day four.
Time for bed.
Starting up on day five, let's roll for the morning.
It's the morning.
Day five. Morning of day five.
That is a 3. You hear someone whistling one of your favorite songs from afar. What song is it? Do you seek the whistler out? Yeah, I think it is. Somebody is whistling one of the songs by a resident of Halifax that was featured at the karaoke concert the previous night. And so I don't seek them out because I know exactly why they're whistling, why it's stuck in their head. But it's fun to hear.
13. The pedestrian track around the gymnasium block set to morning mode. Got birds, simulated sun. Babbling Brook, do you partake? No, I think that I get up early and head to the gardens slash farms. No, that's probably multiple. To help with something that they've got going on this morning.
A group of passengers is heading to the gym block, and they say they're short one player for a team game. Of course, what are they playing? Galactic Pickleball. Since I just played last night, though, I'm not going to join them. I decide instead to stay in my stasis chamber for the afternoon and write some postcards back home.
They don't all have to be super involved, so I'm going to go straight to the afternoon on day 5.
It's the afternoon.
17. Oh, it is another museum block one. The entire history of one Earth subculture is on exhibit in the museum block. What subculture is it? Do you attend? How did that subculture change in the years between 2020 and 3020? I'm trying to imagine where I'm at right now as Hill, having spent all night dancing and invoking spells with a bunch of occultists who I had never met before. Am I up for a trip to the museum the next day? I don't think so. I think it is maybe something that I had like in my big schedule that I have of all of the goings-ons of the ship. It is one that I had marked down as like, maybe check this out. And like today, the exhibit, I think the sports exhibit is still up, but they're sort of cycling through which one is being highlighted. But given the last couple days that I've had, I'm going to skip it.
Afternoon, 20. Your favorite major city is being simulated in the Pan-Civic Simulator. What city is it? What time period? Interesting. So not the metropolitan area, which I didn't necessarily have to live in, but I chose to. This, however, is favorite major city. I think the thing is I'm still helping at the farm, but I am wondering if it's worth just... I'm basically thinking through, like, does it give me something interesting about the character to think about what their favorite city is, especially if we think about multiple time periods? I don't think necessarily. Like, I think that if they were asked, it would probably, like, they might want to see, like, ancient irrigation systems and early, like, it wouldn't be a city, you know, they would want to go back if time travel was a thing and see how people were growing stuff. I'm sure they have a favorite major city, but I don't know that they know it. Like if you asked, I don't think they would have an answer and they don't go. So I'm not, again, I'm kind of just going to skip that one, which to be explicit, like the game says, like you can go and do whatever you want, pretty much. And at any point you could like just go be in your bunk and just not participate, which I am taking as permission to not participate in things. And I think that the point of it is more about prompting the conversation and the thought about the character, and I feel like I was able to like get to a sound enough conclusion about who they are there that I feel like I answered to the prompt without like strictly going to the location, which feels like it is in the spirit of the game. Just sort of talking through my, I love rules. I love following rules in TTRPGs. Often when designers say like, just ignore any rules that don't fit your purposes, I kind of bristle at that because I'm like, but part of the thing here for me is that you and I, you, the game designer, and I, and also the people around me are co-creating this experience. And if I ignore your rules, then you are not contributing to my experience, which sounded much more negative than I meant it. Just that like, the thing that is fun for me is figuring out how we put all of our contributions together and create something out of that. And so generally just ignoring game mechanics is not what I want to do. And so I just, for instance, like I wouldn't find it fun to at this point just stop rolling a die every time to see what happens, or just ignore the tables altogether. Like, I mean, me being me, I wouldn't find it as fun to just go through the tables and choose something for every block of time. But more specifically, I also wouldn't want to just abandon the tables entirely and just be like, okay, it's evening. I have 6 hours. What do I do with my 6 hours? Completely ignoring all of the prompts. But being realistic to the character, they might go do other stuff. And I just think that for me, I'm still playing the game as it's essentially intended, which is what I like to do. I probably repeated myself several times there, and I suspect that I did it in a way that is going to make it very difficult to edit into something cohesive. And what I'm going to say to that is, it's actual play, baby.
The stranger is alone again in the engine room, crying in the ambient light of the fusion reactor. This time, instead of asking them what's wrong, instead of probing or trying to figure out what's happening, I just sit next to them again, and I offer my hand, and we hold hands. This time, after about an hour of holding hands, they rest their head on my shoulder, and I rest my head on their head, and we sit. It's the evening.
Long through day 5, which makes sense given that I didn't get a lot of sleep the day before. Okay, so for evening, that is an 11. Ah. Again, there's a number of former professional kitchen staff among the passengers. They're taking orders for dinner this time. Order anything you'd like, including nothing. Okay, so I ordered pizza last time. I think this time Hill is now feeling a little bit more daring and experimental. And is there anything I am, like, craving? Yeah, I think though it is dinner time, I'm really interested in a big breakfast and like request a big like waffles with poached eggs on top, and hollandaise and, you know, a mash of breakfast foods that isn't like unheard of, but is like, if this was not on the menu, this is a very particular request. Yeah, I'm getting a big weird breakfast and I'm eating it all. And a coffee, please.
The last person I talked to is on the evening news. Who are they and what did they do? The last person I talked to was Jago Tudor. And they're on the evening news because they are one of the scientists on board as part of this cultural exchange to the planet Poseidon. And one of their discoveries that they've made while on this particular voyage is they've been doing experiments with different types of cement and trying to better understand how cement withstands and reacts to low gravity. One of the things that they've found is that there are indeed different kinds of cement, and that since cement is made out of sand, you would think that all sand is the same, but it's actually very, very different. If you ever look at sand under a microscope, You notice that it's actually just like about 1,000 different kinds of rocks that have all just been pulverized. And so what Dr. Jago Tudor has discovered is the prime, the best kind of sand with which to create cement that will be the strongest available cement intergalactically. Pretty cool stuff. Congrats, Dr. Jago, and thank you for your service.
Evening, 18. Fireworks are being simulated in the cupola, rendered visually over various skylines on the massive windows and accompanied by sound effects. Do you watch them? How long do you stay? What is the cupola? Crow's Nest Cupola. The Crow's Nest is a large observation deck at the top of the ship that accommodates up to 200 people. Seating is available at the center of the circular room, surrounded by a walking path, perfect for stargazing at any hour. Oh, that's fun. Okay. Yeah, so I like the idea that, you know, I've been working hard at the farm all day with my new friends / colleagues. And we're like, let's go chill. Let's go and it's kind of like a we've been staring at the same environment all day, right? Let's go somewhere really different. And there's like a little cafe up in the Crow's Nest. I like the idea, just something very small, or you can bring people often bring picnics up there. There is that small cafe. It's got like it's basically a fry truck in a lot of ways, like some pre-made stuff and then also poutine. Etc. But yeah, we go up there to just get a snack and sit on the ground, and we're all delightfully surprised by the fireworks when they begin. And we stay in part because, like, we're exhausted, and it's kind of nice to have this loud spectacle as an excuse to just be companionably quiet together. We're just eating these weird I was picturing a huge thing of nachos for some reason. We're just eating nachos. We're just eating nachos from this weird food truck and watching the fireworks and being satisfied at how tired we are from manual labor all day.
Okay. That's evening.
Let's see what's happening in the dead of night and see if I make it there considering how tired I am from farm work all day.
Day 5, night. The roll is 2. Ooh, okay. Huh. Number 2, the Cryptozoologist Club is hosting encounters with everything from cryptids to yokai in the Arboretum. Will you attend? What mythological creature do you meet? I've got to go. I think this is one that I would have marked off on my schedule as like, don't miss this one. It is definitely something like, as somebody who like designs creatures for my like puppet troupe, is one I wanted to go to like for professional reasons as well as personal reasons to like get ideas and that kind of thing. And even though it feels a little more in line with the like, you know, I think Hilla's feeling a little refreshed today. Like, I think I've got like a slight buzz from staying up all night, and there is a temptation to like reject my planned schedule that I made before the trip started. But I think this one in particular, because it is not like exploring a familiar thing, because it is like meeting a new thing and a thing that I don't have the capacity just on my own on Earth to meet simulated mythological creatures. Yeah, I'm still going. What mythological creature do I meet? Oh, I don't like that though. Yeah, my first instinct was because I've done such like a Providence heavy focus, and this like big Nazo inspired puppet focus, like my first thought was Cthulhu. But I don't know that that's actually what I want. Hey, I've brought Cthulhu into tabletop games before. I don't think this is one I want to bring Cthulhu into. I don't think it's the situation. But what mythological creature is Hale really interested in meeting? I mean, I feel like I'm just kind of open to whatever's there. Like certainly I think there's people there making requests, but I don't think I'm one of them. I think I'm like very, very much in a surprise me kind of mood for this. And so I'm going to try another, maybe not a generator, but maybe just a list of mythical creatures. I really hope it's a somewhat international list. Okay. All right. So Wikipedia is pretty good for this. The list is too long. I'm going to do something stupid and go grab my alphabet dice from my Scattergories game and try to roll a few letters in a row to control F to see what kind of mythical creature shows up. Oh boy. 1 second. Okay. I've got my alphabet dice. I will say if you are trying to do something like this where you need to like generate a word instead of, or, you know, letters instead of numbers, you can certainly just assign letters to different sides of a 20-sided die. But since I have the alphabet dice, which came with the board game Scattergories, I will use it. So let's see. First letter is M, and second letter is H. Let's see if there's anything. So we've got two that, okay, Lavalon, also spelled Lavalon, Lamhalan. I'm curious about this one because it showed up under the category insectivores, which I think is such a fun category for mythological creatures when, like, so many of them are based on specific animals or, like, specific sort of domains like lightning or water. And this one was just insectivores and might have been one of not many insectivores. Yeah, it's the only one listed under insectivore. That rules. Okay. What does it look like? Lavalin. Do we have any pictures? Oh, is it just a guy? No, that's from a video game. Well, okay. So in Scottish folklore, a Lavalin is a creature from northern Scotland. It is generally considered to be a kind of rodent, and the name Lavalon is also used for a water shrew or water vole in Scottish Gaelic. However, reportedly larger than a rat, very noxious, and lived in deep pools in rivers. Its poisonous abilities were legendary. Said to be able to injure cattle over 100 feet away. Whoa! I say this if it's real. So I guess it's a weird, stinky, poisonous rat that I'm meeting. Sometimes that's what happens when you're like, surprise me, and everyone else is meeting unicorns and pseudo dragons and you know, kelpies and various creatures, and Hill rolls up and is like, surprise me, I'm in the mood to meet anything. And they're like, well, here's a weird, slightly large, stinky, poisonous rat. Yeah. Oh, they're kind of cute. I found an older illustration. They just like are like just very big shrews. I mean, I do think, like, as Hill, I'm stoked. Like, this is not a creature I would have thought of. This is not a creature that I really knew about. And just sort of being face to face with this sort of mundane looking mythological creature it probably feels a little bit exciting. Like, it's a new to me mythological creature. And am I feeling like it's like, I mean, I think I am feeling like inspired to create and design based on this, that, you know, not everything has to be not everything has to have a bunch of tentacles and wings and claws and horns and whatever, that you can create something bizarre and beautiful just based on like a very mundane little rat that lives in a river. Oh, other accounts describe it resembling a shrew or a lizard. Yeah, a little shrew lizard. This is perfect. This is great. I'm thrilled with this. And I think this cryptozoologist, maybe some of them probably feel a little bad when I say surprise me, and they sort of like from their list of possibilities, like pick this one randomly to generate. And they're like, oh, geez, sorry. but I'm thrilled. And, you know, hopefully at least some of them are, you know, just happy that I'm happy. Yeah. So I hang out with this little lizard shrew rat, this Lavalin, for a little bit. I'm going to write that creature's name down so I don't forget it. Yeah. And totally bust out my sketchbook and take some sketches of it.
Directories show a lone occupant in the crow's nest cupola. Would you go see who they are? Who are they? What kind of emotional state might they be in? I'm not going to go see who they are. I stayed up extra late yesterday, and I'm very tired. I also feel a little emotionally drained from my consecutive days holding hands and absorbing sadness. And so even though I see the lone occupant in the crow's nest cupola. I don't go to see who they are.
11. The insomniacs among the volunteer kitchen staff are up performing uncanny acts of culinary artistry. Order anything in italics you like, including nothing. So I'm headed back to my room. I like the idea that a couple of us actually fell asleep at the picnic. And that's one of the reasons it's after midnight now, is that we just kind of, a few of us just ended up sleeping under the fireworks. That's how exhausted we are. We fell asleep during fireworks. And like, as long as everybody seems comfortable and like they're not going to wake up unable to move their neck, whatever. Let's just let you sleep up here. It's safe. Who cares? And I wake up a little disoriented and then like laugh. And I think I wake up my companions like, okay, we should all get to bed. And as I'm walking back, somebody pops out of the kitchen. The person who I delivered those berries to the other day pops out and is like, hey, and pulls me in. And they've made with the berries, they're like experimenting with a new recipe, and they have aspirations of making a pie, but they've made tiny little hand pies just to test out the filling. And they give me one, and it is like one of the most delicious things that I've ever tasted. Partially because it was a long day and I'm probably a little hungry still, and I'm a little disoriented from exhaustion and physical exertion and waking up in an unfamiliar place, but also it is just so good. And they're a little conspiratorial about it. They're like, usually we don't have we don't have outsiders testing our recipes, they say, like fully aware that they're being ridiculous. But like, you delivered the goods, so you get the first sample. And it is so good. And they're like, okay, great. Not gonna lie, it's kind of a relief to meet somebody else who thinks that these are better. How do I put this diplomatically? As the basis for further development of flavor rather than as the flavor themselves. And I choke lightly on the bite of pie in my mouth and nod. And I'm like, yeah, you can trust me. If this still tasted like it does right off the vine, I wouldn't have this face. I'd like circle my very obviously blissful, excited face. And they're like, okay, good. Clap me on the back, and they're like, you can take that, but hey, remember not to let anybody know where you got it. And I'm like, yep, okay, I swore into secrecy, I get it. And head off to fall right back asleep after finishing my little pie.
That's day 5, and yeah, I do think I gotta go to bed. On this day, I do not pull another all-nighter. I have a good long sleep.
This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. To find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co. Sign up as a paid member at patreon.com/foliopod to vote on games, participate in live streams, or join for free to get access to the bonus feed with edited audio-only versions of the streams a couple weeks after they happen and occasional other stuff. You can find the games, sci-fi stories, and podcasts of Jam Edwards at rjmakes.com. That's RJ like raspberry jam, makes.com. You can find the music and musings of Garbage Witchface, aka Gnostic Front, aka Carl Orzechowski at everyoneisdoomed.org. The music in this series was improvised live by him while he played the game. You can find the games and music of Seda, C'est moi. I'm doing French this series, I'm not sure why, at gaygothvibes.online, and follow me on Blue Sky at pesadachips.gaygothvibes.online. Next week, Jam and Garbage Face and I will continue our games of Imminence by Marcus Hose. Everything I mentioned here is linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening. Take care out there. We'll be right back.